Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on this. A lovely Saturday morning. Hope your weekend is going well this holiday weekend on the 4th of July. We do this every Saturday at 11 o'clock. We do our five Falcons questions. It is our all NFL hour, and that is what we do here during the 11 o'clock hour. We like to kick it off with five Falcons questions. Normally, it's me asking these questions to Harry Douglas, but since Harry has been off ice fishing in Alaska, must be nice, we'll turn things over to Ken Roundtree to fire off our five Falcons questions this week. Ken, what you got?
All right. Who on the D-line needs to step up beside Grady Jarrett?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that is truly one of the big questions for the Falcons going into training camp and going into preseason. We know what Grady can do. It's about the other guys that are around him. You know, the obvious one that stands, or maybe two that stand out the most to me, one is Marlon Davidson, because Marlon Davidson now finds himself on a team with a coach and a GM that did not draft him. And this is year two for him. Slowed a little bit last year with injuries. I think Marlon Davidson, if he wants to remain an Atlanta Falcon in the future, he needs to be a guy that comes in and can show that he can contribute. I don't know that we saw that from him last year, that he was ready to come in and contribute and make a difference. Look, if he can turn into that formidable foe next to Grady that offensive linemen are going to have to deal with, then I think it's going to open up some stuff. Right now, it's too easy to be able to double-team Grady Jarrett because there's nobody else up there you got to worry about. So Marlon Davidson is one guy. Taquan Graham would be the other. He's the rookie out of Texas. Clearly, the Falcons like him in order to spend a draft pick on him. So he's another guy I think they want to see more than likely. I think early on it's going to be Tyler Davison's spot to lose. He showed flashes at times last year, but he's a guy that's in his seventh year now. You kind of think Tyler Davison is what Tyler Davison's going to be at this point. Same thing goes with Deidrin Sinnott. I mean, how many times have we waited on Deidrin Sinnott to turn into something? And I don't hold out much hope that he's going to be anything more than, you know, a rotational, deep on the depth chart kind of a role player. Same thing goes with John Kaminsky, who's in his third year now. And Kaminsky's been a guy that's played inside. He's played outside. Can he be more than just a role player for the Falcons? That's going to be. But that position, Ken, lining up next to Grady at defensive tackle is going to be a big part of, I think, where the focus is in training camp and then going into the preseason.
I think so, too. All right, Falcons Wire, which is a website, says that this stretch is the toughest in the NFL, and this is for the Falcons. They say week 12 at Jacksonville, week 13 at home versus Tampa Bay, week 14 at Carolina, and week 15 at San Francisco. They say that's the toughest four-game stretch any team has in the NFL. What say you?
Well, in Falcons Wire now, it's not just any website. That's ran by USA Today. So, and they usually have some pretty good stuff on it. from time to time. But in this case, and I haven't gone through every NFL roster to see, or schedule rather, to see how things match up. I think Jacksonville is getting a little bit overvalued already. I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of unnecessary hype around Jacksonville, but let's wait and see. Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be the first quarterback in the NFL to struggle as a rookie, and I know the expectations on this kid are huge, but let's pump the brakes a little bit on Jacksonville and what the expectations are. I feel like they're, you know, a lot of the national media has gotten drunk on Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. And again, I'm just not sold that, and maybe they get there eventually. I just don't know that it happens in year one for Urban Meyer and a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. So that road trip to Jacksonville is one, to me, that's a game the Falcons ought to go win. Home against Tampa Bay. Look, anytime you're going to go up against Tom Brady, we know the situation there. And then you've got two road trips, Carolina and San Francisco, the following week. I think what makes them bad about having those back-to-back road trips is that long trip you got to take to San Francisco and the time difference and all of that stuff. We'll see. It's completely – everything is different in Carolina right now. There's a head coach in Matt Rhule that'll be going into year two. You've got, you should have, a healthy Christian McCaffrey this year that'll make a difference for them. There's a new quarterback in place. So Carolina's going to be different. Same thing goes in San Francisco at some point in time. Maybe they turn the reins over this year to a young quarterback as well. That's not as intimidating of a stretch as I guess I think maybe USA Today feels like it should be, Ken. To come out and say that is the most difficult stretch in the National Football League, is that just, that seems like a little bit of hyperbole to me. I think Harry and I talked about this, I don't know, like a month or two ago when the schedule first came out. Falcons go Eagles, road trip to Tampa, road trip to New York, and then Washington in their first four games. So you're seeing, what are you seeing? You're seeing Tampa Bay, the defending Super Bowl champions, and three teams out of the NFC East in the first week. I don't think that is a picnic. I also go back to looking at weeks 7, 8, 9, and 10, where you're at Miami, home against Carolina, at New Orleans, at Dallas, and then you come home again for a short week to get ready for the New England Patriots. So you play Dallas on a Sunday, and then 4 days later you got to turn around and play New England. Now, you're at Dallas. At least you get New England at home. But you know, beyond that, I think those stretches are maybe a little more daunting than what we, you know, than what we had talked about. And I tell you, another tough stretch. You're only talking about two games, but to end the season at Buffalo, yeah, and home against New Orleans, that's not going to be a picnic either. So, again, I feel like you could probably make some arguments for some of these other stretches of games, if you will, on the Falcons schedule rather than weeks 12 through 15 that USA Today wanted to point out.
All right. So I use this website a lot, especially during our college football game time podcast, to project the depth chart. And that's ourlads.com. And right now, ourlads.com, they're projecting Willie Wright, number 66, starting at left guard over Jalen Mayfield. Is this a roster fight that we're overlooking? Because they have Matt Gono not even in this left guard picture. They have him backing up left tackle.
Well, I think this is one of those, again, it's there's a couple of key spots for the Falcons that you got to watch for going into training camp and then in the preseason. One is going to be the offensive line. Two is the defensive line, and then three, I think, is the secondary. And then from there, you know, you're talking about some other things like how they're going to use Kyle Pitts and stuff like that, that I think will be interesting to watch for. But yes, offensive line, this is do or die, make or break time for not just for a couple of these guys, but I think for a lot of these guys across the Falcons offensive line. Now, Willie Wright is a guy that was a rookie last year out of Tulsa, and you know, could you see him winning a spot? I mean, I wouldn't take anything. I think with a new coaching staff coming in, everybody's going to have a chance. But I will say this, Jalen Mayfield is a guy that Terry Fontenot liked enough to spend a draft pick on. So I think that says something about how the Falcons may view him going forward. So we'll see. Would I be surprised if it's Willie Wright? Yes. But would it shock me if it's Jalen Mayfield, if it's Matt Gono back in there again? Would that be a surprise? No, not at all. But I would be surprised if it's Willie Wright. But I think that left guard spot is one of those positions that's, again, it's going to be up for grabs. Who's going to be next to Jake Matthews? That goes back to before the draft. Part of the reason why I wanted to see him take Penei Sewell out of Oregon is I thought, well, you put Sewell at left tackle, and then you slide Jake Matthews over to left guard, and that takes care of, you know, I felt like that would solidify the offensive line going forward. Now, they didn't go that direction. I'd be shocked, though, to see Willie Wright as the starter over either Gono or Jalen Mayfield, for that matter.
All right, staying with the offensive line, right tackle Caleb McGarry. He improved last year, especially in the run game. Are you high on his future at right tackle, or are you like Chuckery and think he'll move to guard in the future?
I think he could be a guard. I think Caleb McGarry, and again, we talk about guys on the offensive line that are going to have something to prove, because a lot of these guys weren't drafted by Terry Fontenot. They weren't picked by Arthur Smith. So you're talking about guys that are going to have to find a way to impress. And how much longer can you can kind of like what we were talking about with Deidrin Sanaat a minute ago? How much longer are you going to hold on to some of these guys? I agree. I think McGarry improved last year. I think Chris Lindstrom's development may hinge on where Caleb McGarry plays. I think the Falcons ideally would like to keep him at right tackle, but that is based on Lindstrom being able to A, stay healthy, and B, be able to progress. And if those two things happen, then he stays at right tackle. If Lindstrom can't be healthy, can't stay healthy, then McGarry probably ends up having to slide inside.
All right, last question. With the preseason only having three games now, is game two now the quote-unquote dress rehearsal for the starters?
You know, this is something I want to get into with Harry, and I wonder – if we don't see this if we don't see this change a little bit from organization to organization in regards to how they try to handle this, because before it's always been sort of a known in the NFL that your starters would play the half, maybe a series in the third quarter in that third preseason game, and then in the fourth preseason game, those guys didn't even play at all. So, does that hold true? Do you wait until the third preseason game and play those guys, or do you do it now in the second preseason game? And preseason game number three becomes for a chance for rookies and undrafted guys to be able to put stuff on tape? I don't know. I mean, again, could I see this to where everybody in the NFL approaches this a little bit differently? I really could. I mean, I guess it makes the most sense to say that game two becomes the dress rehearsal. It's probably the most likely thing that happens. But if you were to tell me that you're going to see some organizations choosing to go, and play the three preseason games, and it's that third preseason game becomes the dress rehearsal I could see that. Again, I don't know that there's if you were to tell me that it would be between a couple of teams, everybody would have a little different approach as to how they want to do it. That wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I was wondering because usually I would say this makes sense as well. Maybe their first game you see the starters for maybe like a series or two. And then that second game maybe like a quarter. And then that maybe that third game is that whole let's play a whole half type of deal.
Well,
and the guys on the that are struggling for the roster need to make more of an impact at camp rather than on the field in these preseason games because there's so few of them now.
That's been one of the things, Ken. One of the reasons why some folks were against the idea of losing that fourth preseason game was because, hey, that's the opportunity for some of these guys to be able to get some film and be able to get a look on film that maybe doesn't result in a job with the team that they are currently on, but it may result in them getting an opportunity somewhere else down the road. Again, we'll see. This is going to be uncharted territory, I think, for a lot of these coaches. And, again, would it shock me if they all tried a little something different over the course of this preseason? It wouldn't shock me at all. I'd be interested to see how Arthur Smith and the Falcons elect to do. And when we see that dress rehearsal, and do we see a game somewhere out of one of these three preseason games that is nothing but guys trying to fight for the final few roster spots. Harper LaBelle is a former Atlanta Falcons tight end. We're going to talk a little bit about these Falcons. New head coach Arthur Smith, rookie tight end Kyle Pitts. We'll get his take on all these and a lot more as we visit with Harper LaBelle next. He'll join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coming up, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. Hope you got Monday off, or you got Friday off, or maybe you got both days off. That's the way you spend it. Going to be out and about doing some traveling. Make sure you are you're careful this week. Enjoy your weekend. Let's head out on the WadeFord.com hotline as we continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. You know, we have gone around the NFC South over the course of the last couple of weeks. We've talked about Tampa Bay. We've talked about Carolina. We've talked about New Orleans. Now it's time for us to kind of turn our attention to our team in the Atlanta Falcons, and who better to break it down with than Harper LaBelle, the former Falcon tight end and long snapper with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Harper joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Harper, let's hop into it, man. Tell me your thoughts about Arthur Smith coming over, former offensive coordinator of the Titans, now taking over things for the Falcons. What do you think is different with Arthur Smith in charge?
Well, compared to Dan Quinn, and by the way, happy fourth to everybody. I heard you come back with Springsteen. Was that your choice or Ken's? Are you going to play American rock and roll here?
That's Ken's choice. He's got a little bit of a 4th of July theme going on today.
Of course, absolutely. Well, I remember doing several NFC South tours with other guests, doing that with you, and with the exception of Tampa, right, having won the Super Bowl, I think there are problems everywhere. But Arthur Smith inherited a few. I know on draft day there are folks that are saying, you should have gotten Fields, you should have gotten Fields, you should have gotten Fields. But I don't know if I'm so comfortable taking the fourth best quarterback in the draft versus taking the first best tight end or the first best linebacker or edge rusher. You know what I mean? That with that position, you better get the best guy available, not the fourth best. So you're strapped with cash in Matt Ryan, and you can't get rid of him. So I don't know why you would waste a pick on Fields and sit 3 or 4 years for him to play when financially you don't have the ability. So Arthur Smith has a financial problem. And Julio Jones was some relief to that. He let some air out of the balloon, otherwise it was going to break. Now you can sign your draft picks and move on from there. But yeah, I'm not blaming anything on anybody. It's just there's a cap mess. I think you recognize it. I don't know the official numbers, but it's a problem. And unfortunately, he let one of the best receivers in the history of the game, he has to go in order to make room for you to field, you know, a roster of 53 guys. So he's got some issues. I like that he's on offense. He's going to have to introduce himself very early, very often to Matt Ryan and get on the same page. There are a lot of problems, though, Chris. That's why there's a new coach. That's why there's a new general manager. That's why they picked fourth in the draft. There's a lot of issues that they need to resolve, and getting Kyle Pitts was one of them, but there's still several others.
Were you surprised, and you know this as well, you know the ugly side of this of the NFL business as well as anybody. You spent 10 years in the league, and you know how things happen, and sometimes it's not always pretty. But were you surprised that they actually moved on from Julio Jones? I mean, I know the, you know, the cap situation was what it was, but there was also the thought that maybe they could rework some sort of a deal and rework that contract. Now, unfortunately, you end up kicking the can down the road when you do that. But
if Dan Quinn were still there, I think they would find a way to do it. But when you fire your head coach after, what, 5.5 seasons and having multiple 0-5 runs, right? They lost 5 games in a row, what, 3 or 4 times in his tenure there. And to be candid, I think Arthur Blank gave Dan Quinn as open a checkbook as any owner would ever want to give any coach, especially a first-time head coach. And to see Dimitroff and Quinn, who said from the beginning, we're going to run this, we got this, and then to go from the brotherhood and fast and physical and all the cliches into a cap turmoil financially, which that's what Dimitroff was brought in not to do. We're going to run it like what the Patriots did. We're going to get really good players. We're going to plug and play in certain positions. We're going to get a guy for 2 or 3 years as a free agent, but we're not going to go over the cap. That's the way the Patriots model is, and it's worked pretty well over the past 15 years, if you don't mind me saying so. Oh, how could you say that? It's true, right? It's just look at the evidence and look at the rings and all the diamonds that they've got. It worked. And we were supposed to do it the same way. And somehow, way, shape, or form, it didn't work. And now we're over the cap to where we got to let our best player go just in order to be able to sign the rookies. And we can't bring any free agents in. That, to me, is a glaring 800-pound gorilla in the room. And they've got to fix it. A new coach and a new general manager, I think they said, let's stop the bleeding right now. Let's take our losses, and we're going to move on so that we're prepared in 2, 3, or maybe even 5 years to play for a championship each and every year. That's, I think, what the goal should be.
Former Falcon tight end Harper LaBelle with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So let me get your thoughts on Kyle Pitts. I mean, this guy is he's a freak athletically, Harper. I don't think that Kyle Pitts will end up lining up a lot tight to the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to be more effective in this offense if they can find a way to split him out some and let him line up wide. He has said that he would stay on the field after practice at Florida his last year there and practice running routes, not from a tight end standpoint, but from a wide receiver standpoint. How do you think the Falcons end up using Kyle Pitts?
If you're going to lose a 6'2", 215-pound Julio Jones and you replace him with the 6'5", 245-pound Kyle Pitts, I'm not too worried about that loss. If Kyle Pitts can reach over a smaller linebacker and take the ball away, it's mine, you aren't going to touch it like what Julio did, then we'll see if that happens, of course, but now you've got a much cheaper guy to do something that's very similar to what Julio did. Now, obviously Julio was on the outside and Kyle will be in the slot. I think he might line up in the slot because he can. I think you're going to see a little bit more of, again, to bring up the Patriots, when you had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, the two tight ends, and you have one running a seam route up the middle and another one breaking it flat, and then let Matt choose which guy he wants to throw to. If you remember, Jacob Tammy was a go-to guy for the Falcons in the red zone after Tony Gonzalez retired. Matt got real spoiled. Gonzalez would catch it over the middle, touchdown Falcons, and we're kicking an extra point. He tried to do the same thing with Tammy, but for whatever reason, it would bounce off his helmet or a linebacker would deflect it and it would get intercepted. You saw that year after year, and they finally stopped doing it. So what did everybody do? Let's double-team Julio and make them throw to another guy. So now you've got that other guy who's going to be Kyle Pitts. And then you still have Hayden Hurst. You still have Calvin Ridley, who's going to be phenomenal. You've got options. So the good news is that there are some replacement pieces that will be similar to, but no, nobody's going to replace Julio. Come on, that's. But if you get somebody who can be close to that and have other guys pick up the pace, a la Ridley, as I mentioned, or Gage or Zacchaeus, or watch out for Cordarrelle Patterson. He's going to be another guy. They're going to line up in the backfield, I think, you know, have him catch it out of the flat and then have him run routes as well. So options in the passing game, Matt should throw for 5,500 yards.
Yeah, I think the other guy, Harper, that is getting lost a little bit in the pass game is Mike Davis, the running back they signed. You mentioned throwing it to Cordarrelle Patterson out of the backfield. I think Mike Davis had 50, 60 receptions last year in Carolina coming out of the backfield. So he's another guy that I think that can catch the ball. He's somebody, when you talk about how this Falcons offense is going to go and whether or not they're successful, I think a lot of it is going to fall back on Mike Davis. If he doesn't rush for 1,200 yards this year, I'll be disappointed, because I think he should be able to run for that much. They've invested enough in this offensive line to get him there. But the fact that the Falcons could not run the football last year to save their life at all, they got to have Mike Davis come up, and again, they got to have somebody that can pound it between the tackles, and I think Mike Davis can be that guy.
I mentioned problems from the very beginning. You know, did you solve a problem with getting Kyle Pitts? Sure, but are there 20 other glaring ones, especially on offense? And you're right, Chris. Yeah, the running game has been abysmal for the last 5 or 6 years. I'll go back to when Turner was here. There's some other running backs that, you know, TJ Dockett, if you want to go way back into the well. What are you going to do on third and two? How are you going to get the first down without running play action? And that's what Falcon fans in the seats and on TV have had to watch, play action pass on third and two. We got to be able to pound the ball in between the tackles. So that's a problem. Hopefully we get that fixed. And that's where I think Arthur Smith, you know, when you got Derrick Henry as your running back, good Lord, is there anyone else in the history of the game? You know, if you don't have Walter Payton or Jim Brown, Derrick Henry is a real nice replacement on third and two. You know you're going to get five, and you're going to keep the sticks moving. So Falcons don't have that. And the offensive line, absolutely, is an issue that has to get better. You got to be able to protect the quarterback on third down, but you need to be able to move forward and create situations where you've got third and one, second and one, and you can open up the playbook. But offensively, yes, passing game I think will be very good. The running game remains to be seen. That's obviously a huge hole that needs to be filled.
Visiting with Harper LaBelle, former Falcon tight end, spending some time with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little bit about this Atlanta Falcons team. Your thoughts on this offensive line and how you think it's going to shake out, Harper, because they have invested a lot now in this offensive line. There's going to be a whole bunch of first-round draft picks that will line up, a lot of early-round draft picks that are going to line up on this offensive line. How do you see this group shaking out?
Well, now he's the old man, but Jake Matthews, thank God he got to go to the Pro Bowl a couple times, and I think he learned as much as he possibly could from Alex Mack, who I think is one of the great signings that the Falcons have ever done. Losing Alex to San Francisco over a couple bucks, I'm sorry to see it happen, but Alex is getting a little long in tooth. You know, he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, so I hate to see him go, but I do, like you, want to make sure that the young guys right now are ready to step up and take his place. And if you look at the New Orleans model, center and both guards, they wanted all pros in those positions. You got to protect Drew up the middle, and the results were you had a quarterback that was in the top five every year. So if the Falcons are able to do that with an all-pro left tackle and a young guy in McGeary, younger guy that, you know, still needs to prove himself, pass protection, I'm not as worried about run protection. We just talked about, you know, the inability to get a first down on third and two. If they start doing that and manhandling teams, then now I really like my chances to win. We haven't even talked about the defense, but I'm just saying that remember when they went to the Super Bowl about 4 years ago? In preseason, Matt Ryan almost had to correct himself when he was talking to somebody, but it got on the air with someone. He said, I think we can score 28 points a game. And I'm serious. And when I heard that, I thought, whoa, you're talking about a league that averages anywhere from 17 to maybe 21 points a game. You're going to go with 28? Come on, dude. And then he was the MVP of the league. He was right. So if he can say something like that with confidence, especially if we're able to run the ball, then I'm real happy about where we are offensively. And I hope instead of 7 wins, you get 9, 10, maybe even 11. But, again, the defense is going to have a lot to do with that as well.
Harper, appreciate the time, man. Great to catch up. Enjoy your holiday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Happy 4th to everybody listening to 92.9. Have a great day.
That's the former Falcon tight end, Harper LaBelle, former Falcon long snapper. Harper LaBelle giving us some time as we talk a little bit about the Falcons offense. We continue with our all-NFL 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to our NFL notebook. National Football League has come down on the Washington football team, fining them $10 million. We'll get into that. And Brandon Jacobs, remember him? Played running back for the Giants. He's wanting to make a comeback, but at a different position. We'll get into all of that as we continue on here. Chris Goforth hanging out with you on this holiday weekend. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth on this Saturday. A little 4th of July weekend. Hope you got big plans. Hope your weekend's going well. Fell down the steps yesterday. Broke my toe.
No,
you got off to a great start. Oh, yeah. Big toe, right foot. So that was fun. I don't know what it's like. I'm an old man, dude. I haven't even turned. I'm not even 50 yet. I'll be 48 in about another 6 weeks or so. And yeah, it's like I'm falling apart. Broke my toe yesterday because I fell down some steps.
I woke up yesterday morning and then my knees around my knee is all the muscles are all tight and I can't like really bend my knee. It's like wake up like this. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the way it's this. Look, it's the way my world goes now. I am convinced that is just a part of it. But yeah, broke toe sucks. You don't realize how much you. It's better now than what it was. I kept ice on it last night. It got a little swollen, and so now I've got them taped together, and so we'll see. It's not. I'm trying to stay off of it. Trying to keep it elevated. I contemplated doing today's show from the couch, actually. But relented and decided to set up at the desk today rather than do it from the couch. But the couch was tempting, especially with the bum right big toe. So anyway, playing hurt once more, but here we go. It's time for NFL Notebook. We spend the entire 11 o'clock hour. We do nothing but talk about the National Football League here. Let's start with the Washington football team, as they were fined $10 million this week for workplace misconduct last July. And you remember, this was a big deal when this story broke last summer. There were 15 former employees that came forward and claimed they were sexually harassed during their time with the club. Let's hear from the NFL's lead investigator, Lisa Friel, on what she says was a bad culture for women with Washington.
Wilkinson found that for many years, extending through most of the period of Daniel Snyder's ownership, the workplace environment at the Washington football team, both in general, but especially for women, was highly unprofessional. Bullying and intimidation frequently took place, and many described the culture as one of fear. Numerous female employees experienced sexual harassment and a general lack of respect in the workplace.
So the NFL has now come out and said that Tanya Snyder, who's Dan Snyder's wife, is going to take over day-to-day responsibilities for the next several months. According to what they have said, Dan Snyder will focus on the new stadium and some other things, but the actual day-to-day responsibilities of running the Washington football team, as they are going to be known for at least another year, will fall on the part of Tanya Snyder, who is Dan Snyder's wife. Now, According to the National Football League, this is voluntary. That's the way the NFL has tried to they have tried to paint this picture. But the Washington Post, who broke this story initially, and the Washington Post has been right in regards to what they have reported on this so far. So just keep that in mind. They're saying that Roger Goodell will have to approve Dan Snyder's return to the team. Now, Dan Snyder's lawyer has told ESPN that's not true. The NFL hasn't said anything on this at all, and the Washington Post has said they are sticking by their story. Now, here's more from Lisa Friel. She is the NFL's lead investigator, saying that Dan Snyder's got to be held accountable.
It should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The culture at the club was very toxic and fell far short of the NFL's values. And we hold ownership to a higher standard, which is why today's announcement is not only about accountability for the past, but also ensuring the improvements already underway at the club continue in the future.
I think there was a hope among a lot of people, not just those that have come forward, the 15 former employees that initially started this and said they were sexually harassed during their time with the Washington football team. But I think there was a genuine hope around a lot of folks that maybe the NFL, because of this, would force Dan Snyder to sell the club. That didn't happen. I don't know that for whatever reason the NFL didn't want to go down that road. I think there's a lot of people that feel like that maybe the NFL got off a little, went a little easy on Dan Snyder. Maybe they should have been a little more harder on him than what they were, or rather than just issuing the $10 million fine. And now the idea that he's going to have to step away from day-to-day control has, again, a lot of people feel like he got off easy, that this was more of a slap on the hand, and it should have been something worse. That's kind of what Lisa Friel, the NFL's lead investigator, was trying to say there in her statement when she talked to the media this week. This story's not over with yet, though. There's still more, I think, that will have to be decided on this situation. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. We'll see how it goes. But I don't think this is over yet for Dan Snyder. I don't think the Washington Post is going to let it die. I think they're going to continue to, again, I think there's a lot of folks in Washington that would be very happy if he no longer had control of the Washington football team, just based off of their performance on the field, not to mention the other allegations that have been levied against kind of the workplace environment that he had created and allowed to exist. Brandon Jacobs, you remember that name? It's a former New York Giants running back, hasn't played in the NFL since 2013, says he wants to make a comeback to the NFL, only now he wants to come back as a defensive end. And he says he's got three teams that are interested. Jacob says if he doesn't get an opportunity, he's fine. He's coaching high school football. He's running a youth program. He said, I am good to do that. But he feels like, now again, this guy hadn't played in the league in 8 years. And he says he's got three teams that are interested in giving him a tryout as a defensive end. I guess Tim Tebow's having some inspiration on some guys, as Brandon Jacobs now says he wants to come back as a tight end. Josh Gordon has submitted his reinstatement letter to the NFL. NFL has been randomly drug testing Josh Gordon for the last 3 months, and according to several reports that are out there, including one by CBSSports.com, he has passed all of those tests. He was suspended in 2019, and that was his sixth suspension. Josh Gordon is 30 years old. Six suspensions is giving somebody a lot of second chances. I'll be honest, I'm rooting for this guy because clearly he's got some demons that I think he's trying to get a hold of, and hopefully he can do that. But at the same time, after being suspended six times, you got to kind of think that maybe time's running out a little bit for Josh Gordon and how many teams are going to be willing to take a chance on a guy that has been suspended six times. No doubt that he can be a tremendous athlete, but again, he's a guy now that's 30 years old. I hope it can work out for him, but we'll see. First step is to get the NFL to reinstate him. And then, you know, he was in 2019, he was in he was with the Seattle Seahawks or had signed with the Seahawks before he got popped again and test positive for drugs, and they had to let him go once he was so I would expect that somebody in the NFL, if he can get reinstated, somebody's going to give this guy another opportunity to come in. It's our NFL notebook here on a Saturday. Chris Goforth hanging out with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we take a trip around the National Football League. A lot of stuff going on. This is typically kind of that quiet sort of time in the NFL. We've OTAs are done, and training camp hasn't started yet, but there was a lot of stuff going on in the league this week. NFL, by the way, speaking of OTAs, three teams have been fined for violating OTAs, the Jaguars, the 49ers, and the Cowboys. Jags were fined $200,000. Head coach Urban Meyer was hit with a $100,000 fine. And then you had the 49ers and the Cowboys both fined $100,000, and their head coaches fined $50,000 each. All three of these teams, by the way, will have to forfeit at least one day of OTAs next year. I think it's one day for the 49ers and the Cowboys, and it's going to be 2 days of OTAs next year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Cowboys, they're going to be featured on NFL Films Hard Knocks again this year. This will be the third time the Cowboys have been on the show. First episode, by the way, for the new season starts August the 10th. This is the 16th season of Hard Knocks. It started back in 2001. NFL Films has got a deal with HBO to keep this show going through 2024. I admit it, no matter who it is, I find myself enthralled with Hard Knocks every summer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I liked last year's a lot, where they split time between the Chargers and the Rams. That was super interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. I like this show. Yeah. There's never been a year where I just went, even when it's teams that – you know, I don't particularly care for.
Right.
There's never been a time where I just, you know, I'll end up watching it, and then I'll end up somehow I get sucked back into it, and I'm hooked on it. I enjoy Hard Knocks. It's been one of the, honestly, it's been one of the better things that the NFL has done, that NFL Films has done in recent times. I love NFL Films and the stuff that they do, but for me, it's a Hard Knock, and they do good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but man, Hard Knocks is really, really good. I'm glad it didn't go to the Falcons. Teams can opt out if they have a rookie head coach, or if they have appeared in the playoffs the last two seasons. Teams can also decline if they have appeared on Hard Knocks in the last 10 years. So the Falcons have got two of those three, right? They've been on it in the last 10 years, and they've got a rookie head coach. So they could, and hopefully they did. While I love the show and I love the insight into it, I just don't know that I want all of that going on in my training camp.
I see why they chose the Cowboys, because, you know, Jerry Jones, Dak coming back. The Titans would have been interesting as well, I think.
Well, the Titans would have been interesting. That would have been an interesting one. I didn't realize this, or I guess I did. I guess I remember reading this at some point in time about Hard Knocks, but I had forgotten it, that there are, I think, four teams. The Cowboys are one of them, one of those four that are contractually obligated, that if nobody else agrees to do Hard Knocks, the Cowboys are one of four teams that have to do it.
Yeah. I think the Raiders are another one.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are one. I'm going to guess maybe the Steelers.
Something like that.
Yes. Or the third one. And I'd have to go research it to look up who the other teams are. But Cowboys, I think it's Cowboys, Raiders, Steelers, and I'm not sure who the fourth one is, but I would figure that would be the four teams with the biggest national fan bases, which is where the Cowboys factor in. It's where the Raiders factor in. I think that's where the Steelers would factor in, because you're talking about, you know, three teams that have really big nationwide fan bases. So I remember reading that years ago, but I'd forgotten about it until I read it this week. But, again, I'm glad it's not the Falcons. For as much as I like the show, especially with a rookie head coach, wouldn't want to have to deal with that in Flowery Branch. But it's, you know, regardless of who it is, whether it's the Cowboys or whoever they put on it, I'm going to watch it. 2 hours in the books. We'll keep it rolling through your lunch hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get back to talking NBA, back to talking Hawks. Dan Favalli, he's the NBA writer for Bleacher Report. He's also the host of the Hardwood Knox podcast. He joins us next, and we will talk Hawks, Bucks, Game 6 tonight right here in Atlanta. We'll get into that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.